I'm convinced that in every Christian's life, there comes a time when there's a crisis of faith, a crisis of belief. It comes when the days are dark. It comes when you're broadsided and you don't know what to do, and you just try to survive. Some people will hang on to God and continue on to see it through and understand it on the other side. Some people will say, well, if that's what Christianity is all about, and God can't take care of me the way I think he should, then I'm out of here. And they abandon their close walk with the Lord. We find that in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob faces a crisis of belief. And yet, as he hangs on, he becomes a better man, a greater person, a man of God. But if you want God to use you in ways that only he knows how, when you go through that crisis of belief, hang on, because God has not abandoned you. God will use you in ways you do not know or cannot imagine, and he cannot use you until you pass the test, until you pass through that time. He doesn't waste our sorrows. He does not waste our trials. In Genesis chapter 32, I wasn't here, but Brian spoke on some of this, but I'm going to review this. You'll recall that Jacob has left to go to Haran. He had tricked his father into giving him the patriarchal blessing that Isaac was intending to give to Esau. Although Jacob deserved it, Jacob was the one to receive it because he was the one who would be receiving the Abrahamic covenant, the promise of the land, the promise of the people, the promise of a nation. But Isaac was going to give it to Esau, and Rebekah connived with Jacob and tricked Isaac. Isaac was blind, and so Jacob pretended that he was Esau, and Isaac gave him the blessing. Esau was quite unhappy, and he decided he was going to kill his brother. And when Rebekah heard that, she made it where Isaac sent Jacob to Haran, to her brother, and to Jacob's cousins, whom he married, Leah and Rachel. But now, Laban has not been an honest man, yet God has taken care of Jacob and blessed him as he said he would. And he's returning now, 20 years later. He has 4 wives, 11 sons, and myriads of cattle and sheep and goats and camels and men servants and maid servants. God has abundantly blessed him. And so Laban pursues after him after he leaves. And God warned Laban, don't speak evil of Jacob. And so Jacob then talks with him. He sends Laban away. And they're basically at peace. Laban was not happy, but he knew that he was going to be losing the blessings of God that followed Jacob. But now Jacob goes on chapter 32, verse 1. And Jacob went on his way. The angels of God met him. Jacob said when he saw them, "This is God's camp." So he named the place Mahanaim. Now, as it probably has already been mentioned, Jacob met with the angels on his way toward Haran. You remember how that he was slept on this with his stone as his pillow, and then in the middle of the night he has this dream and the angels of God ascending and descending on the staircase, and the glory of God is at the top of that, and God promises him, you go this way, I'm with you, and I'll bring you back to this land. And so Jacob put up the stone, and he poured oil on it and worshiped God. And now, coming back from Haran, the angels meet him again. I think this is an encouragement. God knows how to encourage us when we're making changes. Many of us don't like change, but God knows how to take care of us. And so he is encouraging Jacob as he's coming back that with the angels, the same God is with him, and the same God is with us. But there's some unfinished business that Jacob has. When he left, his brother Esau was wanting to kill him. And in a sense, there was some justification because Jacob was had deceived his father. And now he has to make amends because if he's coming back to this area, Esau, if he still has that intent, Jacob's life is in danger. So he now is trying to make amends. And it's important that we, when we've done wrong, that we make amends with those whom we offended. And so Jacob is trying to do that. He sends some messengers to Esau. Esau, in the meantime, has left from the area around Beersheba and Hebron. He's left to go east across the Arabah. Now, the Arabah is the valley between the Dead Sea and the Gulf of Aqaba that runs north and south. Esau has moved east into what is called Mount Seir. Mount Seir is a ridge of mountains, and this is where Esau has settled, and he has prospered there. And so Jacob sends some messengers to Esau saying that, I'm coming back and I'd like to find favor in your sight. Now, the messengers are relating now to Jacob that Esau is coming with 400 men. Now, 400 men are not an escort. They are an army. But you think about it from Esau's perspective. Esau has, last time he's been with his brother, is that he was tricked. And he doesn't know how Jacob is going to be. Maybe he's going to try to trick him some more. And so he's going to, let's say, protect himself. And he's not going to allow, because Jacob may be coming with a group of people, and he may try to fight. He doesn't want there to be war in his area, where there's sons and daughters and wives that could be harmed. So he's traveling the 120 miles north to meet Jacob to keep the problems away from his family. I'm just saying that that's a possibility. But now, what do you think about Jacob, what he thought when he heard that Esau was coming with 400 men? He wanted to kill me 20 years ago. He's going to do it. And he's afraid. And I think you and I would be afraid too. So he does some things. He divides his livestock into two companies, probably separating them by about several miles. And so one gets destroyed, the other and he'll still have. He sends presents, five series of presents with animals, some sheep and their offspring, some goats and their offspring, camels and oxen and things like that. Five different gifts, generous gifts, indicating how wealthy Jacob was. But he's trying to appease his brother. He's seeking reconciliation. He's seeking his forgiveness. And he's doing what he can to appease his brother's anger. Then he sends his wives and children across the stream of the Jabbok. And it says in verse 22 of Genesis 32, "Now he rose the same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had, and Jacob was left alone." I'm convinced that Jacob wanted to be by himself to talk things over with God because he's frightened. He doesn't know what to do. And so he's in a bad situation. You realize that he had Laban on one side. That was behind him. But before him, he had Esau on the other side. He'd been caught between a rock and a hard place. Jacob was caught between Laban and Esau. And he didn't know what to do. And so it's a good thing to do when you don't know what to do is to talk to God. Notice it was night. And so often the crisis of faith comes at night. It comes at perhaps a literal night, is when things build up to you. But also it comes in a emotional night. The dark days come. You're facing a crisis, and it's not, you don't have all the answers. In fact, you may not have any answers. And so Jacob is in that situation. He's having a crisis of belief. And it's really, he wants to be alone, but he wants to talk to God. But one thing he doesn't want is another fight. He doesn't want another fight. And so what happens is, he's by himself, he's praying, he is seeking God, which is good. But that's only half the story. God was seeking him. God had some dealings with Jacob because he wanted to use him. And when God has dealings with us, sometimes it's not pleasant. The crisis of belief is there. And here then, he sees this man who's called an angel in Hosea, but he was the angel of the Lord. And whenever it says about the angel of the Lord, it's referring to the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus is there. Not named like that, but that's who it was. Because later on, in the midst of this, Jacob recognizes that he was wrestling with God. He says, I saw God face to face and my life was spared. So if he was wrestling with God, he was wrestling with Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus. Are you wrestling with God about any issue? What is God doing? Is he asking you to do certain things and you're not wanting to do it? Is there something going on that's troubling you and you're just wrestling with God? It may be that God's starting to come and is going to give you a crisis of faith, a crisis of belief to see what you're going to do. It says here, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Have any of you wrestled in high school or college? Just raise your hand. If anybody wrestled, I wrestled for one season. I've been in football and basketball and ran in track and played baseball, but the most draining sport, in my opinion, is wrestling, because you have to concentrate mentally, this move and that move and counter this move, and it's exhausting mentally, but it's also exhausting physically. I can't imagine this guy wrestling all night. He was strong. Jacob was strong. And yet he wrestled this one. And Jesus, or the pre-incarnate Christ, could have just done anything. He was wrestling. He was withholding his power. This creator was holding his power when he was wrestling with his creation. And so Jacob and he were wrestling all night. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, Jacob would not give up, that he touched the socket of his thigh so that the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. So now Jacob's hip is dislocated. And yet he cannot wrestle anymore. If you don't have the pry and the leverage with your legs, you can't wrestle. But notice what he does. He hangs on to God. And sometimes when you're wrestling with God, you come to the end of yourself. Something happens in the crisis of belief that makes you weak. He was weakened by that. And you cannot answer all the questions. In fact, you can't answer any of the questions. So what do? Don't let go of God in your midst of crisis. Hang on to God, even though you don't know what's going on. He has a purpose for this. He's not let you go. He's not turned the other way. He's not abandoned you. He had not abandoned Jacob. Jacob didn't know what was going on. He had enough enemies. He didn't need to have a wrestling match. But he did. God set it up. God orchestrated it. And God knows how to orchestrate your life and my life. So when we face the crisis of belief, he is there. And he's out at his end of this rope, and all he can do is hang on. when you have your crisis of belief, hang on to God. What did he want? He recognized this was God, and I want a blessing. I'm hurting. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow when Esau comes. I want you to bless me. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. It's daylight, starting to come. So he said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Jacob reveals his character. Jacob means heel catcher, trickster, supplanter. And up to now, that was Jacob's character. He was learning a lot of lessons from his uncle, Laban, and being tricked and lied to and deceived. But there was still that aspect of his character. But he's holding on to God, and he says, bless me, and it's appropriate to ask God to bless you. So he said, all right, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Israel means he who strives or persists with God. When there's a name change for Jacob, there's also a character change. He's changing his character from a trickster, from a deceiver, to one who prevails with God. From this point on, Jacob became a man of God. He was a believer before, but now he's a man of God, and he's one whom God can use. And when you pass through the crisis of belief, you become a man or a woman of God whom God can trust to be used by him. Now, what's he all doing? He has to face Esau tomorrow. God is preparing him to face Esau, but not in the strength of his own power, but in his weakness. Hosea chapter 12, verse 4 says, yes, he, that is Jacob, wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. Jacob was wrestling physically, but he was also wrestling, agonizing in prayer. He wept. I think he wept because of his situation, but I think he hurt bad too. That dislocated joint. I think he hurt and he's crying, but he's hanging on. And sometimes in our crisis of belief, we cry, but hang on. And then he changed his character. Up to this point, Jacob was a trickster, lived by hard work and by his wits. But from now on, he was a man of God who lived by faith. Well, Jacob wanted to know his name. He didn't give it to him. But the man blessed Jacob there. Jacob knew he was God. It says, Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. He recognized this was a wrestling match with God. Are you wrestling with God? There comes a time just to hang on, and God knows how to bless you. God knows how to bless you. Because the next day, he needed to be reconciled with his brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God was preparing Jacob to be reconciled with his brother. Jacob did everything he could, but there was one thing he needed. He needed to be weak enough to know that God was the one who was bringing the reconciliation about. He did everything he could, and then God prepared him by dislocating his hip joint, and also by blessing him, changing his character. And from that point on, although he limped as he lived, limped as he walked, he was walking by faith. You may come out, in a sense, physically worse for the wear through your crisis of belief, but you're going to become out a stronger, better, and greater person whom God will use. Let's pray. Father, each of us is going on a journey. Coming back home as Jacob was doing, and the process we often face this crisis of belief, the crisis of faith. And it comes at a dark time, but afterwards, you use that time to change us, to be all that you want us to be. Thank you, Father. Thank you for walking with us, guiding us in a ministry of reconciliation between God and men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.